This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're joined today by Dr. Heather Farley. Dr. Farley holds the role of Chief Wellness Officer at Christiana Care. Christiana Care is sort of the strongest, most significant health system in Delaware. Dr. Farley, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Happy to. Thanks for having me. So I am an emergency physician by training. Early on in my training, I knew that I wanted to affect change on a bit of a larger scale, and so did some training in administration and spent a few years in emergency medicine administration, first as the assistant chair, and then I opened our freestanding ED in about 20 minutes south of the flagship hospital. And then because of a personal experience, ended up developing an interest in wellness work and decided that I wanted to move on to a system level role. Went and got my master's in healthcare science delivery and then was appointed director of provider well-being in 2016 and then the chief wellness officer in spring of 2019.
And does the chief wellness officer today, does that deal with provider well-being? Does it deal with patient well-being, population, or what's the main focus of the chief wellness officer as you've defined it?
That's a great question. So the chief wellness officer role is new for our organization, and nationally we're starting to see more and more chief wellness officers being appointed as I think the recognition of the value that the role brings starts to grow. But there's definitely variable levels of support and scope of the work depending on the organization. So here at Christiana, I oversee the organizational strategy to advance the professional fulfillment and well-being of Christiana Care caregivers, and we call all of our employees caregivers, and I lead advocacy programs and initiatives aimed at optimizing the caregiver experience and fostering an organizational culture of well-being. And so while the scope of the work when I first started out really was aimed at our physicians and advanced practice clinicians, we're actually me and my team together. We are poised to expand the scope of our work to all 12,000 of our caregivers within the next few months.
Let me ask you a question. When you look at today's world and you've got this growing population, an aging population, you have significant to massive shortages of providers in different parts of the country, isn't the wellness effort, you hear so much about burnout, doesn't it feel like it's such an uphill battle, or are there tangible positive things you could do to try and impact it against that backdrop of shortages of providers and increasingly AIDS population?
I think there are definitely some tangible things that we can do. I think that one of the pieces of pushback that we get sometimes is, well, everyone's getting more stressed out. And so why are healthcare providers any different? But actually, health systems, we're beginning to understand that health systems are particularly high-risk environments in which to work. And we know that because healthcare providers have higher rates of both physical and mental suffering than the patients that we treat. So kind of understanding that unique experience that they have and understanding that that is a critical success factor to be able to deliver on your organization's mission is really key. And understanding that link between quality of care, patient experience, turnover costs, and the well-being of your clinicians is really important. And so I think that a comprehensive approach is really key to being able to impact the well-being of your caregivers. And there's definitely some tangible things that you can do.
No, thank you. And you're poised for this well, because you're both an emergency room physician, and so you're a physician by training, and at the same time, this is an emergency area, this issue of provider wellness. And do me a favor and explain for another moment the feedback you get from people outside the medical professions or clinical professions or caregiving professions is, look, at a certain age and time, if people have been doing the same thing for 30-plus years, if they've not figured out a better way to handle things, they're all burnt out. So help me again on why physician burnout and clinical burnout is so different than burnout faced so massively throughout our populations.
So it's pretty multifactorial. And if you look at the literature, I think that there are avoidable causes of suffering in the environment in which we work, in which all of us work. Those avoidable areas of suffering for our clinicians are just incredibly complex. But then layered on top of that is the exposure to trauma, which is a unique facet of the work that we do as clinicians. And so that's sort of that unavoidable suffering also. And we're sort of marinating in other people's trauma and the worst days of their life. And that's just part of our job. And the effects of that on our healthcare providers, I think we haven't really appreciated that until recently.
Thank you. I think that's a helpful distinction and very helpful in terms of perspective and context. Talk a little bit about the core initiatives that you have in this area of Chief Wellness Officer.
I've been incredibly proud to work for ChristianaCare because really early on they understood how important it was to invest in the well-being of our caregivers. And so our organization has definitely committed significant resources to improve the well-being, engagement, and experience of our caregivers. And so I think one of the major things that we've done is because we understood that critical relationship between values alignment and well-being, and we know that when our caregivers feel that the organization's values are aligned with their own, they're more likely to experience professional fulfillment. And so ChristianaCare committed to doing that hard work of deeply exploring and redefining our organizational values. And we're now aligned with the statement, we serve together, guided by our values, excellence, and love. And these values guide all of our strategy, including that of the experience, engagement, and well-being of our caregivers. And so along those lines, we have espoused a kind of three-pronged model of professional fulfillment, including personal well-being, culture of well-being, and efficiency of practice. And a lot of our efforts have focused around that culture of well-being. A lot of organizations that embark on this work make the mistake of investing heavily in personal well-being or personal resilience. And I like to use the canary in the coal mine analogy that you can't take the canary and teach it to be more resilient and stick it back in the same coal mine and expect it to survive. You actually have to change the coal mine, the environment surrounding your clinicians. And so that's what a lot of the work we've been doing over the last few years has revolved around. And I'm happy to share some specific examples.
You know, I'd love you to share a couple of specific examples, because I don't know how you do change the coal mine, because the systems are caring for lots and lots of people of all degrees of sickness and challenges. You've got this great situation with ChristianaCare. Is the sort of the great system in your area, and it sort of does have a relatively finite area it works with, but it's the dominant system in Delaware. But how do you go about changing the coal mine? And give us a couple specific examples.
Happy to. So one of the profound areas of culture change that we've seen in the efforts over the last few years has been around humanizing the event review process. And so traditionally, the event review process has been one of shame and blame and silence. And so we have created a robust peer support program to be able to provide emotional first aid to our caregivers after adverse events to help them to process the difficult emotions that are an inevitable part of an adverse event. And we offer multiple other supplementary ways to assist caregivers with the emotional fallout of working in this trauma-rich environment, including reflective rounds, short center rounds, to really help them process the vicarious trauma, those moral and ethical dilemmas, and develop mutual support. Along those same lines, another example of this is we hold ice cream rounds for our residents. These are quarterly residents-only supportive and reflective sessions, and it occurs during their protected lecture time. And they're encouraged to think deeply about the challenges and opportunities that they encounter in their training experience and to share their experience in developing wisdom with each other. So that's one example of how we create an environment that is more supportive for our caregivers who are working in this trauma-rich environment. We've also seen a lot of profound culture change around civility in our organization. One of the initiatives that has been particularly powerful is our Compass groups. These are small groups of providers who meet together, generally 6 to 8 providers who meet together over a meal that's paid for by ChristianaCare. And they meet every 2 to 3 weeks, and they work through a unique internally developed curriculum. And it helps to really improve camaraderie, mutual support, and decrease isolation. And the beauty of those Compass groups is that that mutual support and relationships, those continue long after the Compass groups stop meeting. There's one other specific example I'd love to share with you because it's one of my very favorites, and that is our Thank You Project. So often in healthcare, we're moving incredibly quickly, and we either don't know what happens to our patients ultimately, or we become disconnected from absorbing the impact of what we do. And so with the Thank You Project, we bring patients and families back to meet with the caregivers who saved their lives. And they tell their story, and it is an incredibly moving experience. And perhaps in each Thank You Project, we only touch maybe 15 of our clinicians, but it's extraordinarily impactful for those 15. It really helps them to remember why we do what we do, why we went into medicine in the first place, and to understand that what we do really matters. It's hard, but we make a difference every day, and we can tap into that reserve when we're hitting a low point.
No, thank you very, very much. And it's so interesting how much of the centeredness comes from tying back to the core reason you're doing what you do and the mission you're doing. And we hear that over and over again as one of the most effective ways to maintain some level of job satisfaction and try and ward off some level of burnout, that exact effort, together with what you talked about in terms of the Compass groups, the peer review groups, and so forth. Just fantastic. Heather, you've had this fascinating, Dr. Farley, fascinating evolution from physician to leadership administrative role. You obviously take the role of chief wellness officer so seriously and such an important role today. Any thoughts on a core management philosophy and how you view management and leadership? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's what you aspire your core management philosophy to be, and then there's what your innate characteristics, strengths, and challenges are. And I think it's really important to have a deep understanding of how you are sort of wired at baseline as you're evolving your leadership philosophy. And so I'm sure all of us, or many of us, have gone through those leadership assessments, 360-degree evals, and coaching. And through that, I've learned that there are things that I'm good at and things that I'm not good at. But one of the things that I am very good at is setting a vision and empowering people to act, kind of creating the conditions for excellence and then clearing the way for the magic to happen. And using a participative, affiliative coaching style along that journey has been very helpful to me. And I really enjoy tapping into talented people's intrinsic motivation and creating an environment where they can flourish. And I found that incredibly powerful and effective.
Thank you. And I love the concept of, clearing away the burden so people can actually do their jobs and do what they do best and what they want to do. And we love that thinking as well. Heather, final question, Dr. Farley. Any final thoughts or best advice for leaders? Anything that you've served in both roles as a line physician, a lead physician, helping to run the group, running a new urgent care, now running a situation as chief wellness officer, and during that period of time you went back and did a master's degree in health systems delivery. What advice for leaders do you have, having looked at this from various different perspectives?
I think the most important advice I have for leaders who are looking to make a real impact on the well-being of their caregivers is, again, to focus on the environment surrounding your caregivers, your clinicians, and that fundamental to the success of implementing an effective well-being program is having the support of that enlightened executive team. Financing a robust well-being infrastructure with the staffing, budget, and political backing that they need in order to actually make improvements, and then making caregiver well-being a key quality metric for your organization, something you measure, track, and hold yourselves accountable for, just like we do for quality metrics, patient experience scores, and financial metrics of our organization. And I think that that combined with that multimodal approach are the keys to success for improving the well-being of caregivers in our country.
And so critical, because if you're not taking care of your caregivers, you have nothing. I mean, you really have nothing in terms of a system if your caregivers aren't healthy and engaged and ready to go and ready to do what they need to do.
I could not have said it better myself.
Well, Dr. Farley, what a great pleasure to visit with you. I'm so excited to see what you're doing in this role as Chief Wellness Officer. What a wonderful mission, and I wish you great luck with it. I know it's a challenging role, and we hope that you'll be greatly impactful. Just a pleasure visiting with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.